Settlers call, he spat through brown teeth. Settlers fall is more like it. That's not fair, Wile. Orin pushed through the crowd toward the old man. This was a fluke. A festival day. I wouldn't pay another credit to that fund if I were you, Ulbrich shouted. I'd want a refund. Around him, several of the listeners nodded and began chattering to one another. No! Orin could feel his heart thumping. Listen to me, all of you! He'd stepped over to his landspeeder, putting his boot on the hood just as he'd done in his victory celebration days earlier. It was the same pose, the same crowd, but so different now. Everyone, the call worked! Annie just didn't have her activator at hand. As soon as the alarm sounded, they all took off like scared womp rats. He raised his voice. All of them! Even Plug-Eye! Plug-Eye? The dissonant conversations in the crowd suddenly became one. Plug-Eye was here? Asked a farmer. Yes, and they all headed that way, Orin said, pointing toward the south. We got a report from a skyhopper. They're headed toward Hunter's Gorge. The buzz became silence. Then the party erupted into shouts. Someone said it. We go now, we can get them all! Orin looked around, uncertain as the clamor rose. Of course, the mob was right, the prospect obvious. Plug-Eye had brought out more warriors than had been seen in recent memory. Now they were fleeing toward Hunter's Gorge, a well-mapped part of the Jundland Wastes that sat close to the nearest entrance to the Roya Rift, the rocky labyrinth where the Tuskens liked to hide. Plug-Eye might think they were heading for safety, but in fact, they were moving into a trap. This could be a chance for the settlers' call posse to eliminate the Sand People and finish off the threat once and for all. Orin glanced at the departing Deveronians and then down at Ulbrich. The old man had lost his audience, but he'd be talking again soon. Orin had to preempt that. He looked up at the suns. Seeing lots of daylight left, Orin made a decision. No, he couldn't let this go unanswered. The Tuskens had struck the heart of the operation, knowingly or not. The locals paid their hard-earned credits to the settlers' call fund. If the call couldn't protect its own headquarters, it wasn't much good, was it? He shot a direct look at Mullen. All right, this is it. Muster drivers to the left, gunners to the right. He smiled darkly and fired his blaster into the air. We're going hunting! This is disgusting, Lily said, poking a Tuscan corpse with a broom handle. Her crimson nose crinkled. I don't think I'm eaten here again. Thanks for your support, Annalene said, pulling at a canvas tarp. A dead Tuscan warrior lay face down on it, the body jostling as she dragged it toward the eastern door of the claim. She didn't know what Sand People ate, but this one weighed plenty. Plug-Eye's party had barely been gone when Annalene had set to work calculating how to repair her store. It couldn't wait. Too many people had seen the mess in the claim and had reacted just as Lily had. There wasn't any thought of opening again today. The Tuskens had ruined a profitable evening along with her property. But if there was any hope for the future, the cleanup couldn't wait. Callie, her riding kerchief pulled up over her mouth, re-entered and pitched a pair of gloves to Lily. Ready for another one, the girl said. Should we start piling them in the dewback pen? Can't, Annalene said. They stink too much. The dewbacks will never sleep there again. She turned to her daughter. Tie a hover pallet to the back of the light van. We'll haul it into the rumbles as soon as Orin gives us the all clear. The rumbles? We'll have corpses rolling off all over the place. I really don't care. Annalene glared back at the black smear on the floor where the Tuscan had been. Let a sarlacc have what was left. A total violation of everything she held dear, and on this day, too. Annalene had stepped outside only once, just long enough to see what had happened to old number one. It was one of Danar's last daily presences in her world, and she could tell from 20 meters away that it was damaged beyond repair. At least her family was fine. Although, she could think of better ways of sobering Jabe up than a Tuscan attack. All her worries from before felt like a relief now. Disciplining her son? What was wrong with him? Should be a cinch after all this. Ben appeared in the doorway from the garage. Dr. Mel has left with Bomer, he said, wiping his hands on a rag. He'll survive. It's a miracle, Annalene said, brightening. I don't know what you did, Ben, but I'm glad you were here today. Lily looked up from her mopping. She pointed at Ben and then at Annalene. You and you? You were here together today?
All day,
Callie whispered to Lily, loudly enough so Annalene could hear.
Alone.
Lily looked back at Annalene and raised an eyebrow. There were also some Tuscans, Ben said. I'd better go. He put the hood back over his head and walked swiftly past the Zeltron woman. Lily smirked as he passed. Annalene gave an exhausted sigh and nodded. She started toward the stack of water containers, leaning but intact. You should probably get that water you paid for. She pulled off her gloves and started to walk toward him, but he was already opening the door.
Wahoo!
Came a call from outside. Ben paused in the doorway as one land speeder after another drove past, full of cheering passengers. Annalene trudged toward the door, wearily. If those are fans back from the race, she thought, they're going to be disappointed. But when she joined Ben outside, she saw the garages had emptied of settlers' fund vehicles, all of which were now streaming to the south, crammed with hollering, blaster-wielding settlers, young and old, mostly young. And Oren's USV-5 was far in the lead, carrying several.
Oh dear, Ben said. You don't think.
I do think, Annalene said, swearing. She ran back toward the garages, calling for her son. She found only Zed, seated and massaging his injured ribcage in a medicated stupor. It took two tries to